This is 99% Invisible. I'm Roman Mars. In San Francisco, the area south of Market Street is called SoMa. The part of town north of the Panhandle is known as NOPA.
I live in a part of town at the intersection of North Oakland, Berkeley, and Emeryville. A neighborhood real estate brokers are calling NOBE.
That's producer Avery Truffleman.
The whole NOBE thing makes me feel pretty icky. These abbreviated neighborhood names are such cliches.
And they are everywhere.
Neighborhoods in Boston, Washington, D.C., Seattle, Denver, you name it. You never really know which of these names will stick around. Like, there's this part of Midtown Manhattan that was recently renamed NOMAD for north of Madison Square Park. And people are starting to use it. You can see it on Google Maps.
And it's weird. There's not really a name for this naming convention. They're not quite acronyms. They're not quite portmanteau. They're not just abbreviations. Around the office, we've been calling them acronames, and they trace their lineage back to SoHo, short for South of Houston Street in New York.
It's really interesting how SoHo developed first as a local neighborhood brand and then became globalized.
Sharon Zukin is a professor of sociology at Brooklyn College and the Graduate Center of the City University of New York. Professor Zukin says that the origin of New York SoHo can be traced back to 1962, and an urban planner named Chester Rapkin.
Rapkin was asked by the City Planning Commission to investigate the condition in what was then called the South Houston Industrial Area. It is unclear exactly how, but around this time,
people seized upon the term SoHo as an abbreviation,
which was certainly better than the South Houston Industrial Area, but not nearly as badass as its previous name, Hell's 100 Acres.
In the 1950s and early 60s, at the time Rapkin was writing his report, many of the buildings were abandoned.
He mentioned in passing the grim caverns of factory buildings in SoHo, and that's absolutely true.
The South Houston industrial area was threatened with demolition. The brick buildings with cast iron facades were seen as ugly, outdated eyesores. But the Rapkin report made a plea to preserve the factory buildings. And the city held off on their plan.
Rapkin said the manufacturers in those buildings were viable, and it would be interesting if the manufacturing buildings were renovated for manufacturing use. Nobody foresaw that the area would become colonized by artists.
Artists rented the manufacturing spaces for studios, and to save money, they lived there too.
SoHo in the 1970s quickly gained the identity of an artist district. SoHo was, if not the very first industrial district to be transformed into work and living space, it was certainly the most prominent in the media.
After SoHo took off, the Urban Planning Department wanted to replicate the success of that neighborhood. And they transformed the nearby triangle below Canal Street into Tribeca.
SoHo was able to incubate and disseminate all of these trends that became so important in interior design in the 80s and 90s and, you know, probably on into the 2000s.
SoHo and Tribeca weren't just the rise of acronames. They were the birth of industrial chic. They created the whole aesthetic that comes to mind with these neighborhoods.
In SoHo, artists embraced the vestiges of the factories they were living and working in. They found the big metal fixtures and beams and loading docks charming.
And this became a kind of expensive minimalism that marked high-status taste in interior design.
Exposed brick walls, distressed floors, big windows, large open spaces, big beams and bronze fixtures. The old factories became trendy. And in other parts of New York and other cities around the world, developers started to copy SoHo, not just in industrial areas, but in all kinds of neighborhoods, independent of whoever was already living or working there.
Real estate developers around the world copy this, and they say, let's bring some stores, let's encourage some performance spaces, some art galleries. Let's make this area interesting. Let's give it a name.
This gets at the ickiness of using the term NOBE to describe where I live. because longtime residents already had a name for the neighborhood long before realtors decided to make it interesting. So I walked around and I asked some people who live near me, and they all said that they call it just North Oakland.
And really, it doesn't need to be called anything else. 99% Invisible was produced this week by Avery Truffleman with Katie Mingle, Sam Greenspan, Delaney Hall, Kurt Kohlstedt, Sharif Youssef, Ted Muldoon, and me, Roman Mars. We are a project of KALW and Radiotopia. Find out more at 99pi.org.